Hi, this is Sandra Roscoe Wolf. I'm the culture agent columnist for LB Post, and I'm here with
Lydia Parousol,
Denise Scott.
Thank you both for meeting with me today. Why don't you explain to me what you're doing here?
I'm coming actually from Cambodia, or let's say I'm working in Cambodia since 5 years, and I'm the art manager and curator of an art and communication center calling Meta House, and I'm setting up here together with my colleague and friend Denise Scott the exhibition Transformation 2. We are both co-curating the show.
And besides co-curating, I'm also an installation artist. And this project actually began 1 year ago. The first set was 5 LA-based artists and 5 Cambodia artists, which was hosted at Meta House in Phnom Penh in July, August of 2008.
And you had a piece in that show?
Yes.
So then, how did you come to be here?
When we had last year our exhibition and our show at Meta House in Cambodia, we saw that it's also important to have to bring Cambodian artworks, contemporary Cambodian artworks, to Long Beach or to the U.S. because here in Long Beach is the biggest community of Cambodian people outside of Cambodia. And there's not so much knowledge about what's happening in this part of Southeast Asia and Cambodia. So there was a need and an urge to bring the artworks here.
And since the Khmer New Year is in April, we decided to stage it at that time because one of the premise of this exhibition was that each year we have the parade. We have El Dorado Park, and I question, where are the visual artists? And I already had a link in the past 4 years in Phnom Penh with the artists, and so that's how it came about.
Perhaps you can talk a little bit about the artists that are participating and some of their work.
Mm-hmm. I can speak about the Cambodian artists because last year we approached some artists, and this year also more artists are involved in this exhibition from Cambodia but also from the U.S. The Cambodian artists are all young contemporary artists using different kind of medias. We have here drawings, we have photo collages, we have installations, we have sculptures, all of them or most of them coming from the capital Phnom Penh, some of them from Battambang, all of them having an educational background in arts. There's one photographer, he's very famous, he never studied photography, but he's very, very strong. He had exhibition already in Europe and Hong Kong and so on.
And then does this show also feature Western artists as well, or is this just...
Originally, the 5 LA-based artists that showed in Phnom Penh last year was Gina Han, Yoshizaki, myself, Seon Sapersuth, and Chiyama Yoshi. And now it has expanded to include 6 more U.S. artists. Primarily, they are of Cambodian descent, first generation here. We have Amy Sanders from Boston, Linda Sopin, who is Canadian, Cambodian, who's doing a residency in New York City. We also have Tom Tor, who is an LA-based artist, and we have, who else? Aragna Kerr, who is also an LA-based artist.
Now, it must have been an expensive endeavor to bring all this work here. Did you have financial support or funding? How did that work?
I mean, this is maybe a question, or yeah, Denise can answer better than me, because what we are doing here is actually very... we're doing it out of nothing, you know, you can say it, but... There was an auction, and it was a very special and specific auction for this exhibition. And maybe Denise can speak more about this.
Many of the LA artists that are not in this exhibition, actually our friends, donated works. And so we had 2 art auctions, one in November, and then just one like 3 weeks ago. And that's how we partially funded.
And well, that's amazing. That's actually quite the whole kind of,
unusual.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And was there any sort of institutional support for this?
We applied for some grants, but we didn't receive them. Yeah. But we have a good community of people here. For example, the works from Cambodia came in unframed. And so Min, who owns Frame Express, was kind enough to give us a large donation in framing the works.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And then what about the actual exhibition space itself? How did you decide to do it in the Second City Council Art Gallery?
Well, Sayan Sapersooth and I both exhibited here in the past, and we knew we needed a large space, and it had to be in Long Beach because this is where the Cambodian mm-hmm. Population is.
Right. Great. And so then when you were talking about it with Cheryl, how did that, was she just like completely gung-ho to...
Yeah, she's very supportive.
Great, great. And then how long is the exhibition going to be on display?
Up till May 3rd.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's going to be here for quite a while. People mm-hmm. will really have a chance to come
exactly
and check it out. And are you doing any special outreach to the Cambodian community? I mean, how are you getting the word out about this to them?
I mean, we will have we will show documentaries from Cambodia. So there will be one evening where people have the possibility or opportunity to see documentaries from Cambodia, documentaries about the past, documentaries about culture and arts right now. Mm. There we have a music documentary about Cambodian hip hop, and dance. Also on the 14th of April, one Cambodian artist will come over here to Long Beach. She will stay until the 27th of April. So,
and in addition, we have Navi Prim and Dalita Lim, who are both Cambodian book writers, who gathered a number of other writers together, and they'll be here doing a book signing on April 24th at that opening.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And we really hope that a lot of people, the Cambodian community, will come here and see the show, because this show is very, very important on one hand for people in Cambodia, people also here, and the second one just also to show that society is going on and there's something happening, you know, there's something... change, you know, or it's transformation, as our title is of the exhibition.
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting because the culture there has sort of begun this kind of transformation also.
Yeah.
I have the good fortune to have worked with one of the local Cambodian musicians, Master Ho-Ho. Master Ho, who mm-hmm. is one of a handful of music masters in the world, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sort of faced with a challenge now, culturally, mm-hmm. of interesting young people mm-hmm. in preserving this mm-hmm. oral tradition mm-hmm. Of music, which is basically handed down from person to person.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah. So, but it's funny because when you go over to Cambodia, I've never been, but mm-hmm. I've heard that hip hop and you know,
karaoke,
dancing.
Yeah.
There's a real famous group called Tiny Tunes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Tiny Tunes, I mean, they're not doing hip hop so much, and not musicians, they are more dancers.
Right, right.
And Tiny Tunes, they will come in May to here. But if you go back to the situation of traditional music and modern music, it's like this, that for sure many young people, they like hip hop and rap like everybody in the world. It's like this, it's a global global interest or global favorite for music for young people. But there's also it's not like this, that young people forgetting the tradition. They really like also traditional music. They like also traditional dances. So when you are going to weddings or you are for Khmer New Year, for example, they're all dancing traditionally with traditional music. Not all the time. There's also modern music, pop music is very common, like everywhere, and also hip hop. But there's a certain people appreciated. They might be not interested, most of them, They don't want to learn the tro or different kind of Cambodian instruments, but they know about or they feel about this. It's not something where they are very surprised. Oh, I did not know this is a music, a Cambodian music instrument. You know, they have a certain appreciation for it.
How did you get involved in working in Cambodia with Cambodian artists?
Oh, that's a long story. Okay, I try to make it short. I worked in Germany already in culture and arts, and I went to Cambodia with the German government, working in an institution, in an NGO, I'm sorry, and I decided to go back to culture and arts because this is what I have the most energy for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I started to work at first in a puppetry theater as a project manager and later on interim director. And then I went to visual arts, where I worked before in performing arts, and now I'm working in visual arts since more than 2 years, yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. And then how about you? How did you get involved in this interconnection between Western and Cambodian art?
About 4 years ago, a friend of mine, Dr. Carlos Severas, he takes a group of students from Cal State Long Beach every winter break to Cambodia. And being an artist and being an educator, he said, because we have 9 different sites that they work at, could you supervise, you know, a group or two of the students? And so after that, we started exploring, you know, the arts. And he said, see if you could find any contemporary Cambodian artist. And that just sort of brought a ripple effect.
So the show is Transformation
yes.
2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's opening this Saturday?
This Saturday, April 11th from 6 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have a very special performance of Promwalk. He is an instructor at the Khmer Arts Academy here, mm-hmm. as well as in Takmo, Cambodia. He was there. He was in Cambodia summer of 2008, as I was, as we all were.
Mm-hmm. And the show continues through... through May.
What's third.
Closing?
May 3rd.
May 3rd. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of other events. We'll have those listed on the website. So, great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you on Saturday.
Yeah.